This is Johnny B. Baker Jr. in honor of my dad, a.k.a. Dusty Baker, manager of the Houston Astros. You're listening to the Nostalgic Mixtape.
Crushed it.
Got me way down here. Got me way down here. Got me way down here. I'm about rolling forward. Baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go back to New Orleans before I love you. I'll be your man done gone. I'll be your man done gone. I'll be your man done gone. Let the county phone me back to
gone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a special one. This is a very special one. Welcome back to the Nostalgia Mixtape. I'm your host, Saman Ashraoui, and this time around, we've got quite literally one of the coolest people to ever set foot on planet Earth. Dusty Baker, longtime baseball legend as a player and as a coach. This man, you can look this up, invented the high five. Literally invented it. We think of it as this ubiquitous thing. It's always been around. No, this thing did not exist until Dusty Baker hit a home run in 1977. Him and Glenn Burke, his teammate, they co-invented it. They literally invented a feeling. Like, there was a rift in the time-space continuum when the first high five happened. Like, we ended up on a new timeline. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is a cultural shift. That's like, it's, and that's not even, what's wild is that's not even the coolest thing about Dusty Baker. Let me tell y'all how we met really quick, how this happened, because I just want to let y'all enjoy this wonderful human being, this wonderful man, Mr. Dusty Baker. We met through Sidney Colson, WNBA champion Sidney Colson for the Las Vegas Aces. She texted me one day, last minute, hey, do you want to come to the Astros game tonight? I'm never going to turn down a chance to hang out with Sidney Colson. So I went, had a good old time with Sidney. I knew that she was a guest of Dusty's that night. But what I wasn't expecting was we went out to a bar afterwards, and Dusty showed up. And Dusty had the most incredible music stories that I have ever heard. I was just, we all were captivated. And the best part about it was, as incredible as his stories were, there were like a dozen laughs to go along with each one. Like, this man owns a room when he's in it without even trying, just completely nonchalant. Like, it wasn't, and so I was like, you know, and I, like, I'm always really careful about this. I don't want to put pressure on people, but I was like, Mr. Baker, like, these stories that you've told are like, that I have a podcast that's literally these stories. That's all it is. And it would be amazing if you could come on and tell some of them. And so he gave me his phone number. We stayed in touch over the next year, trying to coordinate it. And I have to say something about the integrity of Dusty's character. Every time I would reach out, text him, try to schedule it, you know, he'd be real busy because he's Dusty Baker, but he would never make me feel bad about it. Like, every time I texted him and he was too busy or his schedule was full, he would say, you know, don't wait too long before you reach out again. Don't forget. Don't keep me waiting. And it's like, I've done hundreds of interviews at this point, and I have never had such a pleasant experience scheduling an interview as I did with Dusty. And so when it finally happened, he invited me into his home, offered me some coffee, which I declined because caffeine messes me up. And we had this incredible conversation that I'm about to share with you. But it all started when we both realized how much we each love the blues. And that's why I'm playing the blues here in the beginning. So like all good things, it started with the blues and it got better. So yeah, here's Dusty Baker for the Nostalgia Mixtape. Enjoy.
It's popped up. Ozzie Smith going out hard. Tough play. Dusty Baker makes the play. Oh, what a play he made. We have now seen four great plays in this All-Star game. Dusty Baker was playing Al Oliver very deep in left center field because Oliver has power in that direction. Smith sees he can't get it. Dawson over and a dive by Dusty and he's got it. What a play. What a run. What a play that was. Look at this.
Who was that young Dusty and, and what was that house like?
Okay. Well, you know, when I was young, I was oldest of five and music was always in our house. My mom and dad were in the choir at the church. You know, and I was in the choir, and just music was something that, especially in the black culture, that was always, you know, always there. I didn't understand a lot of it sometimes, but it drew me close. And you know, my mom would make me sometime go to these concerts, not concerts, these opera outdoor venues as a kid, and she'd try to give me some culture and make me well rounded. Now, she wasn't crazy about James Brown or like Bob Dylan, all the guys that I liked, because she said they couldn't sing. They would just yell and talk. So I know she didn't like rap later on, you know, which I've come to love. And my mom would wake us up to go to school to Lou Rawls. And, you know, I wasn't crazy about it. I mean, I had to get up and go to school. But, you know, it was always there. And, you know, my dad loved the blues. You know, he liked jazz. I didn't understand it at the time because there wasn't any words. Mm-hmm. You know, he really liked Miles. And my dad didn't drink, smoke, or do anything. I'm like, man, how do you like this? I mean, you know. Where's the sanity to it? And I didn't understand that until later. But, you know, we had, like, Mahalia Jackson. We had, spiritual songs in our house. You know, my dad and mom would have some parties, and, you know, they'd have the jitterbug, you know. But they really didn't really – they liked it because they had these records that they would, like, hide in the back. But they would never play it in front of us. But I'd sneak out to use the bathroom, and I'd hear them in there jamming to them. And there was, you know, my mom was trying to teach me how to do jitterbug when I was a kid. And, you know, like I didn't understand Little Richard, you know, and I loved his music, you know, Chuck Berry, you know, all of them. I remember seeing Jerry Lee Lewis on the Ed Sullivan Show. And that's like, man, this is how I want to play it. My mom wanted me to always play the boring scales, and I had to play in front of the church. Like, you know, now Johnny B. Baker Jr. will play the Hungarian Rhapsody followed by the Blue Danube. And I'm like, Mom, this thing is not what I want to play. And then when I saw Jerry Lee Lewis, man, on the Ed Sullivan Show. Like I said, this black and white TV, you know, with the antenna on top. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw Jerry Lee Lewis and the fire coming out, the flames coming out the piano, and his feet on top of the piano, and the great balls of fire, I was like, man, now that's playing the piano. You know, his blonde hair. Well, you could tell he's blonde from black and white. But then, you know, because I had to practice my scales every day. Mm. And, you know, I really wanted to play the guitar. Mm. And then I wanted to play the saxophone, because that was a big one back in them days. Mm-hmm. And the teacher told me I had the wrong lips for the saxophone. Man, that I was in the mirror every day.
I'm sure that stung.
Yeah, I was in the mirror every day. What's wrong with my lips? You know what I mean? And so my mom would tell me, hey, you can play the guitar later, but you gotta, you know, the piano's the basis to all music. And so you learn the piano, you can do anything. I was like, you know, I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah, I was the same way.
Yeah. Thank mom. So.
You don't get it, mom.
Yeah, no, not at all. And so after I saw that Great Balls of Fire, man, my mom came in. I didn't think she was home. And my dad had an old piano that he painted pink or something. You know, my dad would get stuff and fix it up and make it look new and paint it. You know what I mean? My dad could do anything. My mom came in. I was practicing the Great Balls of Fire. You know, I just had my feet on top of the piano.
Oh, I bet she loved that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had a fit. I said, so what? Have you lost your mind? I said, no, mama. I'm playing. I might have been 10, 12 years old. No, mama, I'm playing like Jerry Lee Lewis. She says, your name is Dusty Baker. You better get your feet off of that piano. I'm beat your butt. And I said, but mama, but nothing. You know what I mean? Because, see, then people in the church, you know, when people converted to rock and roll, R&B, a lot of them came out of church. Mm-hmm. You know, like Aretha came out of church. Everybody came out of church. Mm-hmm. Al Green.
Staple Singers.
Yeah, Staple Singers. Everybody came out of church. And that was kind of, it was like called the devil's music.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, man, the devil got you. And, you know, I hear Buddy Guy, you know, I used to go to Buddies all the time, talk to Buddy about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing my mama was talking about. You know, you can't be playing that devil music. But on the other hand, that devil music
sound pretty good.
And it sounded good to them too, because that's the, they was listening to the same thing that I was kind of like not supposed to listen to. But
you talking about that stash they had?
Yeah, on the parties. And then they had some stash. They had some nasty stash too, because that was in the back of the record labels, like a Red Fox. He was nasty. He was one.
Oh, they had Red Fox.
They had Red Fox. They had Rudy Ray Moore.
They had Rudy.
Oh yeah, they had. Wow. They had what's his name? Had Mons Mabley. You ever heard Mons Mabley?
No, I'm gonna write that down so I can look it up later.
Oh yeah. And I better not be caught dead listening to that. You know what I mean?
That was too much.
I mean, I better not be caught dead even knowing that I was in there. Mm-hmm. You know. So, you know, certain things that parents hide from the kids.
Of course.
I mean, you know, it's like, hey man, I'm an adult, you know.
Some folks say that Willie Green was the baddest motherfucker the world ever seen. But I want you to light your joint, take a real good shit, and screw your wig on tight. And let me tell you about the little bad motherfucker called Dolomite. Now, Dolomite was from San Antonio. A rambling, scambling, gambling little young motherfucker from the day he was born.
Right on.
Well, the day he was dropped from his mommy's ass.
Okay.
He slapped his pappy's face and said, from now on, cocksucker, I'm running this place. At the age of one, he was drinking whiskey and gin. At the age of two, he was eating the bottles that came in. Now, Dolomite had an uncle called Sudden Death. Killed a dozen bad men from the smell of his breath. When his uncle heard how Dolomite was treating his own ma and pa, he said, let me go and check this little bad rascal before he go too far. Now one cold, dark December night, his uncle broke in on Dolomite. Now Dolomite wasn't no more than 3 or 4 when his uncle come breaking through the door. His uncle Dolomite
that I want you to straighten up and treat your brother right. Because if you keep on with your dirty mistreating, I'm going to whoop your ass till your heart stops beating. Told him I was sitting in the middle of the floor plate. He said, I see your lips quivering up, but I don't hear a cocksucking word you say. This made his uncle mad. He let off with a right and made lightning flash. But Dolomite tore his leg off. He was that damn fast. And all the men of Sodom Tone gathered around that night to see if they could do something about the little bad rascal called Dolomite. It took a hundred.
I wasn't allowed to listen to Prince growing up.
Yeah,
I had to find that on my own, like as an adult.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. I hear you, man. Yeah. I love Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, because you see, whenever I go to a town, like now to play, I play whoever's from that town.
Oh, I love that.
Initially, yeah. Like
love
when
that.
I was in Minnesota, I played Jesse Johnson, Abilonia Six, and Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go to whatever town I'd go to. Like in Atlanta, I was playing, Gladys Knight.
Oh, wow.
You know, then I'd go to Chicago, and I was playing Chicago.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and so whatever.
We need a baseball team in Mississippi, so you're going to play the blues every time
man,
you go.
Hey, let me tell you something. I had the greatest time with Elvin. One year I was out, you know, when I lose these jobs, which I really can't understand, after I win and stuff.
Mm.
Something always good happens when I'm off those years.
Mm.
And like one year I took my son and I went to Alaska.
Oh, wow.
One year my dad died, so I was there to comfort him at the end. One year my daughter got married in the backyard, the tree that she always talked about getting married at.
Mm.
You know, and I'm like, okay, honey, sure. And so then one year I was out, I don't even remember what year it was. Elvin Bishop asked me would I be his guest in giving out the Blues Awards in Memphis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and wow. That was like, I said, sure, man. And that was 3 days worth. That's when Bobby Blue Bland, I remember, was living.
Wow.
And, they had I don't remember all of the artists that were there that I gave out awards to, and they were as happy to see me as I was to see them.
Wow.
And man, that was like seeing 30 concerts, because all of them sang that received their awards. And it was like seeing 30 concerts.
Oh my gosh, you were in heaven.
Oh man,
yeah.
I mean, I could even probably go out the awards and then then Ellen took us to Morgan Freeman's place.
Oh yeah, down in Mississippi.
Down in Mississippi, just across the mm-hmm. river.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went fishing over there, and I had to watch out for these water moccasins, because I hate water moccasins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I swear. And they were everywhere. You know what I mean? And so but we had a great, great time, and then we passed by the crossroads.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've been a couple times.
Oh, that's my first time. So I got out of the car, man, and
oh man.
Just was at the crossroads, you know.
You got to soak that in.
Oh, yeah, with Robert Johnson, we dueled the devil
mm-hmm.
for his soul. And you hear, Eric Clapton and all of them singing about it. So.
I went to the crossroads, fell down on my knees. Fell down on my knees. At the Lord above, I'm missing her. Say, poor Bob, if you please. Nobody seems to know me, baby. everybody pass me by.
Yeah, I've had some good moments. Most of them, most, you know, most of them are involved, you know, around music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw Archie Bell at Drills when I was coming through here.
No way.
Yeah, and you said a long time ago. And this is where I saw.
Oh, that's amazing.
This is where, did I see? I think I saw Gatemouth Brown here one time. One of my partners, we were talking about Paradise, California,
okay,
earlier before that became my partner. And they had some dueling harmonicas.
Mm.
And about 15 of these bad harmonica dudes.
Wow.
In Sacramento. And he ended up dying, Lazy Lester. And I met Lazy. Didn't know he lived up by me. I met Lazy in Atlanta, Georgia, a little blues spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting, he picked me out of the crowd, because a lot of times
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, man, you Dusty Baker? Yep, that's me. Or they call me, oh, here comes old Dusty. So I guess that's me.
Did they have like walk-up music back then?
Well, you know something? No, not really. But you know, they gave me a walk-up song in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Richmond, Virginia, where my son just played the other night.
Oh, wow.
That's a trip, man.
That is a trip.
Yeah. He just called me and said, Dad, I'm playing in Richmond. And they would play Johnny B. Good. That's my name, Johnny B. Baker,
oh, I love
Jr.
That.
Yeah, so that they played Johnny B. Good, you know, before every at bat.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have any idea about walk-up music.
Yeah.
But you know something? I learned a lot about the person and by the walk-up music.
Totally.
And I really pay attention a lot. And it shocks me. I mean, I can tell who's a Christian, who's religious by mm-hmm. their music.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can tell, you know, kind of who's a bopper. And I'm like, man, this cat's from, he's from the South, but his rap is music, is rap music.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, I mean, he don't look like no rapper. You know, and I was
three
like,
for a curveball.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, man, that dude, okay. He must be pretty cool.
He's all right. He's
yeah,
all right.
He's all right. And see, that's what I use music too. I mean, a lot of times I use rap. You know, when I need to get in a, you know, when I need to get in a mood, just like the other day, they made a bad call on us, and I try to suppress some of this, some of the feelings that I have sometimes, especially on the anger side.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, nah, I'm gonna get up this morning, I'm play Tupac, it's me against the world, because we had a bad call last night.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like that sometimes.
Yeah, you're damn right.
It's just me against the world.
Said no, I got to be mellow. And I remember, and people asked me, man, you like rap music? Yeah, yes I do. And I was talking to you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you interviewed DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
And I was like, really, man? And I remember taking my kids to, you know, to see Snoop.
Oh wow.
Yeah, years ago in in Sacramento. And I think we saw, and then we went to another rap concert. We saw, I said, who was there at the park? Another year I was out. What's his name? Turned Down for What?
Oh, Lil Jon.
Yeah, we saw Lil Jon.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was like, I had my son and my nephew and my brother-in-law with me. And I was like, and they were like, man, old dude, you out here, you know, digging this? And I said, yeah, because I remember... See, my nephew, when I was, my last year with the A's was in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, 86.
Mm-hmm.
And so my nephews, they're 50 years old now. And I was like, hey, man, my nephew and my godson, they both live here. So they came out to visit. They might have been 13, 14 years old. And they said, and the bat boy was pretty cool, named Jimmy. You know, I think he's part Asian, part white, little cool little dude, about 19. He goes, hey, they got a rap concert at Oakland Coliseum tonight.
Oh, wow.
And it's okay if I take your nephews. I said, yeah, I mean, you keep an eye on him especially because he likes to wander off. You'll lose that one, okay? So yeah, I don't care what you got to do. You put a rope around you or whatever, and you be home at 11 o'clock, boom, boom, boom. So, and I said, furthermore, I think you guys need to go because this might be the last rap concert you see because rap would be dead in a couple of years.
Oh, that's so funny. Look what happened.
I was square as hell. And here I am listening to it. And I was talking to you about, you know, when I went in the clubhouse the other day, because, you know, when the clubhouse is quiet right before the game, I don't like it. I like, turn the music up, dude, get yourself psyched, get yourself ready. And I heard this song. I was like, dang, I never heard that one. I'd like the heck out of that one.
Mm.
And then I said, man, you know, I hear Lil Wayne, and I didn't recognize DJ Khaled yet.
Mm.
And I heard Jay-Z, and I said, man, who's jamming that right there? And it was Tucker.
Oh, wow.
And Tuck, I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, dang, Tuck, man, that's your cut right there? He goes, yeah, man, I like that. And he's from Tampa, Florida.
Khaled's from Florida. So maybe that's part of the connection. Yeah.
That's where DJ Khaled, I didn't know he was from Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man.
Hey.
Got some hip little dudes in this world, and I just, you know, they keep getting hipper just as long as they stay open-minded about things and accept people for who they are and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 1968 or 69.
Mm-hmm.
I was 19 years old. We were playing at the where the Angels practice now. That was the Seattle Pilots at the time.
And
I was in Arizona at the Instructional League where they invite the top minor league prospects out of every team. And they had some big league prospects there, guys that are in the big leagues that had to learn how to hit the curveball or how to throw a curveball or work on the fielding.
Yeah.
You know, Blind Faith with Ginger Baker and Eric Clapton. They were singing at a little spot in Phoenix. And the next night they had Janis Joplin was playing at our baseball stadium, Tempe Diablo Stadium.
This is yours, your evening with Janis Joplin. Leave your hang-ups, your frustrations on your door, and bring your blankets outdoors this Friday at 8 o'clock to Seattle Pilot Stadium, South 48th Street and Broadway, an incredible Tempe. Enjoy Janis and her guests, the James Cotton Blues Band, Chief Root Wizard and the Silvery Moon, with light paintings from First Light Century, all produced in living moonlight for Cycles West by Bob Gately. Your ticket, $4.50 in advance, $5 the evening of performance. They're on sale now at Romano's TV, both stores, 43.
Okay.
And they got a big mountain in the back.
Yeah.
And then the stadium's down here, and that's where all the hippies were on top of the mountain up there. And then they stormed the mountain. They stormed the fence.
During the show?
Yeah, knocked the fence down. And I love hippies, by the way, because I've never seen two hippies fight.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, okay, man.
So that was Janis Joplin that was playing that night.
Yeah.
And do you remember who you were playing the next day?
Yeah, I think we were playing the Seattle Pilots.
Oh, you're playing against them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was in their stadium.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah, because I went to the concert that night.
Okay.
And then we played.
So, oh, you were at the show?
Yeah, I was at the show.
Oh, you were at the show. Okay, okay. Oh, yeah. You didn't just hear about it. You were at the show.
No, I was at the show.
Okay, okay.
And
okay.
then we played there the next day.
At the same place.
Yeah, because I was playing for the Phoenix Braves. That's where we played.
Okay. Got
no,
it, got
no,
it.
No, 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 no. Phoenix, were we at Phoenix? Let me see. At that time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were at Phoenix Muni.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So you go the. So you already knew what was happening the night before,
mm-hmm.
and then you go, you're playing your game, you're playing outfield at the time?
Yeah.
Okay, and what do you see in the
everywhere.
Ground? Just...
They're roaches. For people that don't know what roaches are, they're everywhere. Guys are filling out their pockets and stuff and playing all out of position. It was so crazy.
I'm sure that was a great night that night.
Oh, yeah, and the coaches are like, man... What's wrong with you guys? You should be playing over here in right center instead of left center.
Okay. All right.
I'm a window just looking out at the rain. By my window, just looking out at the rain. Some came along, honey, grand to hold on, and it felt like a ball and chain. Tell me why does everything go wrong? I said, people, how do all go wrong? Yeah. And all step on, hunt, tell me why. What does everything go wrong?
If someone had never heard of the blues before, how would you explain the blues to them?
Well, blues is, when I first heard it, it's kind of like the opposite but the same of country western music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of country. They were singing usually about a woman that hurt them or a dog that died or something unfortunate, you know, in their life, but it was also soothes you at the same time to know that somebody feels the same way that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does for me. I mean, you know, when I have the blues a little bit, and plus I like the blues dudes, you know, and my dad loved them. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad loved T-Bone Walker, who I end up seeing at the Blues Festival when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, at the Monterey Jazz Festival. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Son House, you know, my dad. I mean, you know, everybody loved Muddy Waters. Let me see, who was his piano? Pine Top Perkins. I mean, my dad loved all those guys. And then when I signed pro ball, you know, I wasn't really into it that much. I was into more Hendrix and Joplin, and because being from Northern Cal in 67 68, you know Ike and Tina Turner, I saw them at Winterland. Hmm. Along with Spirit, and this was when they were trying to mix genres, you know what I mean? Hmm. To try to attract,
fusion,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever you call it. Yeah. Try to attract different people, because I remember my visitation to Santa Clara, they had Jefferson Airplane with Stan Getz.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, what a mix.
I know, man. And I was
what
like,
a mix.
Yeah. And, you know, and then I didn't know that later on I was going to get to meet a lot of these blues dudes because, like, Elvin Bishop's like one of my best partners. I mean, to this day, we go fishing all the time and talk to him all the time. And I met him at John Lee Hooker's house, and John Lee invited me and one of my players, you know, over to his house.
Wow.
And I was like, man, this is the same dude that my dad, and Charlie Musselwhite was there. And, I was like, man, this was, and then he came to the stadium, and this is when Dion was on the team, and he was sitting in my office for hours after the game, because, you know, all those dudes were like music guys. Yeah. I mean, all the music guys love sports, especially baseball, and most baseball players love music. And like I said, I was so lucky to be in that era and saw them all, you know, we saw the Mamas and the Papas. Steve Miller Blues Band at Freeborn Hall and Davis, and then I saw Bob Marley and Davis. Almost you name it, you can see him. Like I said, saw Hendrix two or three times. We used to see Santana. He was the opening act, Tower of Power. Like,
oh man,
we were kind of tired of seeing them, because they were the opening act. And then I didn't know how big these guys were until I went, you know, other places. And then I saw Santana in Puerto Rico when I played in Puerto Rico, and I was like, man, I've seen this guy a bunch of times. And I'd go different places and try to. You know, seek out music. In Venezuela, I was playing down there. We saw Diodato, and then in Canada, we'd go to, in Montreal, they had a jazz place, and Etta James was there one time. And next time we went there, Bill Evans was there. And the next time we went there, I think his name Eddie Gomez, I think his name is, and then. You know, I was so lucky, not only for my mom and dad, from the era that I grew up in, you know, around the time, and, you know, when the Sly and Family Stone and, you know, James Brown, just different venues. And then I got to meet Atlanta Cepeda. Atlanta Cepeda was like my uncle, and he's the one that really got me back into jazz because, you know, I was a bopper, I was always, everything was fast, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he goes, hey, you got to settle down, John. He's calling me John. Settle down, John. I was like 19, 20 years old. He says, man, you got to listen to, you know, Thelonious Monk and Stanley Turrentine. And then and then he turned me on to Ronnie Laws, who ended up being a friend of mine. He's from Houston. Every time I came to Houston, his mother would cook for us on the Dodgers.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, I met all these people. And, you know, that kind of slowed me down. And then I was hanging around Hank Aaron, and you know, at that it's a different time, and you know, the southern scene, you know, like we'd go to Underground Atlanta and see little Johnny Taylor. I was listening to him, you know, this morning about, you know, soul there's a soul party in heaven, you know. It's kind of like before you came in, I was listening to you know, Buddy Guy, who ended up hanging at Buddy's when I was in Chicago.
But
I was digging, like, you know, when he talks about Stevie Ray Vaughan and all the ones that had died.
Oh, man, no, I don't know this one.
Oh, yeah, it's Cold Cut, man.
Okay.
There's another blues singer that the Lord called back home.
He's got a pick, a strap, get on his back. Ain't gonna cut the angel no slack. Never done call another blue stranger back home. I see the voodoo child, he's holding out his hand. I've been waiting on your brother, a welcome to the band. This good blue stranger, heaven fire singing. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph been listening to their playing. Heaven done call another blue string of black home. Love they call another blue string of black home.
Yeah, it's the same, and I kind of relate to that with, you know, there's an all-star team of guys that I played with and admired in baseball.
Yeah.
In heaven.
Yep.
You know, like Hank Aaron, you know, Willie McCovey, Al Kaline, all these bad dudes, man, are up there the same way I imagine that another blues singer got called back home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I always thought that as a baseball player, I could never really express my true feelings or let people know me.
Mm.
Because no matter how hard I hit a ball or no matter what I did, it really wasn't me. And entertainers, you know, I feel that you really get to know them even more by their, you know, by their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a 42-year-old daughter, and I got a 23-year-old son, and they keep me. That people ask me, man, how, you don't get old, or you don't this and that, or how are you still doing this? So I like being around young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you fresh ideas, and I hope I can give them some wisdom, and they can, you know, give me, you know, their fresh ideas, even though I can't keep up with half this technical world. I got to call my son and say, hey, son, hey, dude, I'm kind of lost right now, you know. He says, Dad, just try it. Just push this button. Blah, 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 this and that. But they also keep me up on music because I always took my kids mm-hmm. to concerts, you know. I mean, I took my daughter, I think Third World, Steel Pulse in San Francisco when she was in high school. And then my kids always went with me on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'd take my daughter to Slim's with mm-hmm. me. They'd let her in.
Mm-hmm.
She's underage.
Wow.
And that's Boss Skaggs' place. And then they had, you know, Maceo Parker. I saw him. Simply Red
mm-hmm.
was there. Bootsy, Cincinnati, got to know Bootsy. You know, Parliament was there. We'd see somebody like every day. And San Francisco was kind of like the center where mm-hmm. where whoever you wanted to see. And then I take my daughter to every New Year's. She was a teenager. My buddy ran the Hard Rock. Harris Levy ran the Hard Rock, and all these entertainers would show. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Bonnie Raitt would show up for this New Year's Eve party, and mm-hmm. Bonnie'd always, you know, I know she was tight with John Lee Hooker, and she'd always show at Slim's, but then, you know, here come Axl Rose, here come. Very Nice Black used to be with Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Oh, wow.
And then Clarence Clemons would show the big man,
wow.
you know, and play his sax. And
yeah.
That's the one thing that I, you know, that I really love. But, you know, every place has every town has different. You know, I like the Texas blues now. I'm here in mm-hmm. Texas. But I was digging it before, you know, with Stevie Ray Vaughan, because I know he was a big Hendrix fan, and I was, mm-hmm. I love Jimi Hendrix.
There's a red house over yonder, baby. That's where my baby stays. Lord, there's a red house over yonder, baby. That's where my baby stays.
Will you tell the story about meeting Hendrix? Do you mind?
Well, it was me and my buddies, and we had seen him in Sac State, and then we were in San Francisco, and we were going to see him, I think, in Winterland. And he was standing across the street, and see, I was kind of scared of Jimmy's music because I dug it but didn't understand it.
Mm.
You know, and my buddies would say, "Hey, man, you like that music?" And you know, I was with a bunch of white dudes that I went to school with. I said, "Yeah, man, I don't know why, man, but I just, you know, I liked how he talked. I liked his voice. I know his music was out there, but I was out there myself." And people said, "Man, you're weird." And I was like, there was a time where I tried to fit in, but I could never fit in. So after a while, I just accepted maybe I'm different, you know what I mean? But sports always kept me straight, you know, because my quest to be a pro. I always wanted to be a pro. I didn't know what I was going to be a pro in, but I tried them all. So anyway, we're in Winterland. No, we're on outside Carol Dota's, which was a strip club. You know, we were old enough to go in, plus I better not be caught dead coming because my mom and dad.
They got her in the back of your head.
Dude,
like,
all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, and you couldn't even peep in because they had a wall there. You had to go around the wall. So we were standing right there, and Jimmy's standing outside. And it's up on Broadway, up on Funky Broadway. So I said, they said, "Hey, man, offer Jimmy." You know, I mean, we were kids. We were 18, 19 years old. So offer Jimmy a joint. I said, "No, man." I said, "Go." I said, "You do it." So hey man, you know how he talks.
Hey, brother.
So then my friends came over, and that's how we met Jimmy. I never saw him again after that. But see, I got this theory that I haven't told many people. See, back in the day, all these entertainers, they OD'd around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jim Morrison and the Doors. His name Jim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Big Mama Cass, the Mamas and the Papas, which I saw them too. Hendrix, then Sonny Liston, Big Daddy Lipscomb. And I'm like, man, they had a bunch to live for, but I just can't believe they all OD all around the same time.
Oh, man.
But I wonder, did our system or government, because they were controlling the minds of a lot of young people,
mm-hmm.
and they were influential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big,
mm-hmm.
and for them the OD is very believable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I don't put nothing past anything.
I'm sure Hendrix had an FBI file. 1,000%.
Well, I had an FBI file.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be a story for another time, I guess. Yeah. You don't have to tell that here.
You probably got one, too.
I probably do, too. See, that's why we get along.
Yeah. But, you know, like, it was so deep. Like, when I went to Atlanta, that's when I was really on the soul scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the Fox, you know, I got married to a girl from the South, my roommate, Ralph Garst, when I was really into... You know, my roommate Ralph is from the South,
mm-hmm.
and he helped me how to deal in the South. Because he'd always remind me, "Hey, Baker, you ain't in California now. This is 69 mm-hmm. through like 75.
Wow.
And so we were told to stay on one side of town, on the south side of Atlanta, basically. But, you know, being around Hank Aaron and being around, you know, like Hank was going for the record, and all these entertainers would come over to Hank's house.
Oh, wow.
Or wanted to be around Hank. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd go to Chicago, and, you know, the Mavis Staples and Staples Singers would go over to Jesse Jackson's house, and there'd be Billy Preston, and
wow.
there'd be Ramsey Lewis. And,
wow.
And
Billy Preston from Houston.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta have something if you wanna be with me. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something if you wanna be with me. That's right, babe. All right. I'm not trying to be no hater, 'cause sassy is too cold for me. I'm not trying to be your highness.
These mm-hmm. nothing but that my TV is just saying nothing from nothing these Baker Marty Perez little he still calls me that. Remember, I know it's him when he sings that song to me over there. And so then you know William Bell was you know was Hank's neighbor, and then you know that's we had Underground Atlanta as well as the Fox Theater, mm-hmm. you know, like we saw Isaac Hayes, you know, Jimmy Ruffin, you know, Four Tops. Mm-hmm. I mean, my daughter's favorite later on, you know, Smokey Robinson. Mm-hmm. I mean, whoever came, whoever was famous came, you know, it, to the South, mm-hmm. You know, Curtis Mayfield, mm-hmm. Man, I mean, it was every week we were going to go see somebody either at Underground Atlanta or, and you know, that was a different scene. I mean, that was mm-hmm. And so that kind of rounded me out, you know, about and gave me more pride in being black because I'd never seen black wealth before.
Oh wow!
You know, because yeah. if you were from California, black wealth usually lived where it's white, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, man, this was like, I mean, that gave me so much pride. And especially, like I said, being around Hank Aaron and meeting all the famous people, you know, that knew Hank and wanted to be around Hank, from Jesse Jackson to Maynard Jackson to Andrew Young, who's one of his best friends, to, you know, Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm. And so... it taught me a lot about race, and there's good people and bad people on all sides. Mm-hmm. And just because a guy talks with, like, that's why I said I've come to kind of like, not really country music, but come to the rock, more like rockabilly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But a lot of these dudes, especially a lot of these Texas blues guys, mm-hmm. you know, I think, is T-Bone from Texas?
That's a good question. People yeah. who are from Albert Collins is from Texas.
Oh, I love Albert Collins. See, I love yeah. all the
yeah. Lightning Collins. Hopkins, obviously.
Oh yeah, man, those are some bad dudes, man. Yeah. I like all the Kings. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everybody talks. I like Albert King.
Mm-hmm.
I love B.B. Albert, mm-hmm. Freddie King. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can listen to them all day long, or I can talk about music, fishing, hunting, and baseball, or. No, I think I like basketball better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in your playing days, if you could have picked some walk-up music, like what do you think you would have picked? I know Johnny B. Goode's a great song, obviously, but yeah. if you could have had a choice.
I would have probably, you know, in high school, Four Tops was like my theme song before I went out to play, and I would sit out in the car until I heard it. The coaches were like, "Come on, man!" But that was my that was my good luck song. I'd have probably picked probably a reggae song,
mm.
you know. Dang, I forgot that I had seen Jimmy Cliff and Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm thinking now of some of the, you know, some of the people, you know, that I'd seen.
You saw Bob Marley, huh?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I saw him twice on the way back from Venezuela in 74, and then I saw him in, I think it was 82, right before he died.
Must have been one of his last shows.
Yeah, one of his last shows at Freeborn Hall.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good question, what my walk-up song would be. You know something? I probably have to do like some of these dudes do now.
You make a playlist?
Yeah.
I would love for you to make a playlist.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, like you get one for the first AB, the second AB, third AB, you know, and then the fourth AB, it'd have to do something. My fourth at bat, it'd have to do something with clutching up or something, if there was such a song.
Okay, so yeah, exactly. Right. Late in the game, you need something to really take the energy up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And get my psych up that, you know, I'm going to win the game.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the artist who could do that for you? Like, would it? I mean, I guess Bob Marley has. You could do like Brennan Luton or Iron, like a lion in Zion. You can do stuff like that.
That's a good one.
Some higher energy stuff.
And Baker trying to put the Dodgers ahead. 1-2 the count.
Anyway, it's been nice talking to you. We could talk. I mean, the more we talk, the more I remember. You know, this is Johnny B. Baker Jr. in honor of my dad, A.K.A. Dusty Baker, manager of the Houston Astros. You're listening to the Nostalgic Mixtape.
Crushed it. Thank you, Mr. Brave Eagle. Appreciate you.
Yeah, well, that's something else that we didn't go into. The Brave Eagle, the people don't know that story. Because, you know, that's pretty cool that you remember that. Cause,
of course.
Yeah, the Cheyenne gave me that name when I was hanging with the Cheyenne, still hanging with the Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. They were just here about a month ago.
No way.
Yeah, they were my guests at the ball game. They gave me some holy water. They gave me some, some war paint,
mm-hmm.
some red war paint that you used before the game. And they also gave me some sage to burn just in case. I mean, some real dynamite sage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really special.
All right, man.
Well, I appreciate you.
Talk to you.
Thank you.
What did I tell you? What did I tell y'all? One of the coolest people to walk the planet, Mr. Dusty Baker. Dusty, thank you so much for your time. This is a conversation that I will treasure forever. I hope we get to have more of these, whether or not a microphone is in front of us. Sydney Colson, Sid, I appreciate you so much for making this connection happen in the first place. It's been such a joy. Y'all, I don't have too much else to say. This was just such an honor and such a pleasure. We'll catch y'all on the next one. All right, peace.
Coming way down here, treat me like a dog, baby, please. Oh, mm-hmm. I'll be right now. I'll be leaving. I'm betting I train.
It is my band. My band. My band, my band, my band. Be your woman, I'm gone. Be your woman, I'm gone. Your woman, I'm gone, woman, I'm gone. Be your woman, I'm gone. You'll be counting for home. Be your man and lover. You're counting for home.
Baby, please don't go.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby, please don't go.
Yeah, yeah.
Baby, please don't go. Down to New Orleans, you know I love you so, baby.
My band. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, baby. I'm begging you, baby. I love you so. I love you so. I love you so, so.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.